The sunnah and the commands of Allah. The sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakara.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Today is the 28th night of Jamad al-Ula 1446 Hijri. So with this relevance from the booklet Attar's 40 Hadith, Hadith number 28, of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is presented. There's an angel of Allah with one arm in Mashriq, meaning in the east, and the other arm in Maghrib, meaning the west. When a person lovingly sends salat upon me, that angel dives into water and proceeds to shake its wings. Allah Almighty creates an angel from every droplet that falls from its wings, and those angels go on to seek forgiveness for the sender of Salat until the Day of Judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My name is Abdul Khaliq from Punjab, Pakistan. My question in the court of the Amir of Ahl-Sunnah is that why does one fall prey to an evil eye? At times, some people fall prey to an evil eye again and again. What is the reason for this and how can one protect themselves against it?
Being afflicted with an evil eye is truth. As mentioned in a hadith, evil eye does take place. Now in this, كُلُّ ذِي نِعْمَةٍ مَحْسُودٌ, one is also hadith, meaning that a person who is given a blessing is envied upon. This is a hadith. Now for an evil eye, if the person gets the evil eye of the person who is jealous of him, then this evil eye is very dangerous, wound from the eye of the jealous person. So this is very dangerous. May Allah keep us safe. So an evil eye is also of humans as well as of jinns. And at times one's own belonging catches the eye of oneself. One is wearing such nice clothes and he checks himself in the mirror. There's lighting as well and the person says that I'm looking really good today. Now there is a risk of person catching his own eye, and it also happens generally at times. So if you like something of yourself or someone else, then by saying words like MashaAllah, Barakallah, one will not catch the evil eye, inshallah. And to save oneself from the evil eye of the other person, there are so many litanies and wazaif. One litany and wazifa, one method for it that I normally act upon is as following. Standing in front of the mirror and whilst looking in the mirror, recite Bismillahi ma sha Allahu la quwwata illa billah. Bismillahi ma sha Allahu la quwwata illa billah. Recite this 11 times. It wouldn't even take 1 minute. Just saying it can be recited very quickly. If we recite this wazifa daily, then inshallah it will protect us against evil eye. And now if you like someone else's belonging, then say ma sha Allah barakallah, and say this when you like your own belonging as well. You would have seen that small children are mostly very cute, so they are prone to catch evil eye more quickly. One reason could be that mostly people find them cute. Now when they find them cute, they will praise the child saying that the child is very cute. But people don't have a mindset of saying MashaAllah. And if they do, they don't have any attention to it. So because of praise in this way, at times, the child gets afflicted with the eye of even his own parents. A younger brother may catch the eye of his older brother. A younger sister may catch the eye of her older sister on their cute habits, like the way they talk, the way children crawl and take baby steps. It's enjoyable and it makes one adore children, but mindset of saying MashaAllah in the midst of it is absent. And if there is the mindset of saying MashaAllah, then the mindset of pronouncing it properly is not there. Who pronounces it properly? All they say is MashaAllah, MashaAllah, MashaAllah. What is this utterance? It's common nowadays. The correct pronunciation is MashaAllah. So correct pronunciation is important. Same with InshaAllah. Now InshaAllah, what is this? What does it mean? InshaAllah. For a future event, saying InshaAllah is a sunnah. Who says so? And those who do, they pronounce it incorrectly. For Alhamdulillah, they say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Ya Alhamdulillah, I'm feeling well, Alhamdulillah. What is Alhamdulillah? For Subhanallah, they say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. What is this? They don't know how to pronounce Subhanallah. They don't know how to say Alhamdulillah. They don't know how to say InshaAllah, MashaAllah. Even if they do, they don't have enough time to pronounce it properly. People don't have time for it. If we save time from chit-chat, if we save time from social media, if we save time from useless conversation, only then can we take the name of Allah properly. We don't have its ability. Honestly speaking, there's a great lack in its ability that even those know about it, even they don't pronounce it properly. They don't say salam properly, they don't reply to the salam with correct pronunciation, as mentioned in hadith. If we don't say salam properly, then how would that salam benefit us? How would we receive peace? People say things like Assalamualaikum, Assalamualaikum, and the reply would also be Maalikum Salam, Waalikum Salam. This is not salam. It also has specific pronunciation. It has to be pronounced from correct points of articulation. So we have to say salam and perform the dhikr of Allah in accordance to the rules of pronunciation given to us by Sharia. Same is the state when it comes to the recitation of the Holy Quran. If people recite Quran in front of other people, they will be a bit careful in their recitation. They'll make less mistakes and only those blessed by Allah recite it correctly. And then I normally say that I'm in awe of a true Qari of Quran, as he is the one who knows how to recite the Holy Quran. If honestly I say that out of 1000 people, 999 people don't know how to recite Quran, I may not be wrong. You may say that, what is he talking about? What does he mean? But you will come to know only when you become a student of a Qari. When you recite the Quran to him, only then you will know whether you know how to recite it or not. People don't even know how to recite A'udhu Billah or Bismillah, and they make big claims, saying that they've been reciting since their childhood. They may be, but they don't know how to recite it. They become angry if someone says you're reciting incorrectly. They'll argue, saying that what are you talking about? We're reciting since our childhood. So instead of being angry on people, be angry on your nafs, as it has fooled you all this time. Satan has made you mad. He has made you falsely believe that you know everything. You don't know anything. You won't find out whether you know how to recite the Quran or not unless you make someone your teacher. Please forgive me, but this discussion was entirely for your reformation. Alhamdulillah, many people would also understand this, that we should actually reform ourselves and not remain in illusion at all. And who to make a teacher, we need to understand this as well. It shouldn't be a case where you make someone a teacher who is at your own level. You should request eagerly a scholar or a mufti to spare 12 minutes or so for you so you can read something to them, so that you can learn from them. And for Quran, it should be a true Qari, not anyone else. It shouldn't be an unqualified person. It should be an expert and qualified Qari of Quran. Such a Qari will rectify you and highlight your mistakes. In Dawat Islami, Alhamdulillah, we have a system where Imamat course is also conducted. Then tests are also taken, in which a person is tested for his salah and his recitation of the Quran. So you will find this system in Dawat-e-Islami, and at least in this Faizan-e-Madina, and it would also be in other Faizan-e-Madinas of other cities. It's not very difficult. You make a mindset to reform yourself. Resources to do so are available. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in the court of the Amir of Ahl-Sunnah is that how is it to earn money by playing online games? And can we bring this money into use? Please provide answer for this question.
This is impermissible. Earning through playing online games is not permissible. In fact, there are so many issues in the games itself, which a modest person cannot even see. In fact, not even listen to his voice. Astaghfirullah, don't let your children play such kind of games. Why are you pushing your kids into destruction with your own hands? Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in your honorable court is that, What does Islam say regarding the existence of aliens? Please guide us in this regard.
Allah says in Surah Muddathir, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. And no one knows the armies of your Lord except Him. Meaning that no one besides Allah knows the number of Allah's armies or the number of Allah's creation. Now for example, as humans, we are one creation. We know ourselves. Then, we know about jinns as well, that they also exist. To deny the existence of jinns is kufr. It's disbelief. Their existence is proven from the Quran. There's a whole chapter in the Quran whose name is Surah Jinn. Some so-called intellectual people deny the existence of jinn, saying that there are no jinns. There's nothing like magic. And when they get afflicted with jinns, then their eyes open up and they start looking for those who can cure them. So remember that denying the existence of jinns is kufr. Denying the existence of magic is kufr. As magic is also proven from the Quran. The account of Musa al-Islam is famous, of the sorcerers. So one should not deny anything they like to from their own flawed intellect, saying that these are just verdicts of Maulanas. What Maulanas say is from the Quran. They say from the Hadith, and they know about the Quran and Hadith more than us. So one should not deny like this straight away. Maximum one should say is that I don't know about it and leave the matter. So we know about the jinns, we know about the animals, we know about the insects, that they are also a creation of Allah. Then there is the creation of the sea, there are birds, the creation of the air that flies. So these are some creations of Allah Almighty that we know of. And then there are some creations that we don't even know of. So among such creation that we are unfamiliar with and don't know about, it is possible that there may be existence of aliens among them. And maybe even not. Because believing in aliens is not a condition for us. So in this regard, the fact of the matter is that we do not have confirmation for this, and no one has. If one is asked what an alien is, what is its definition, then they wouldn't know about it. They wouldn't have any idea about it. They won't be able to define it. No idea whatsoever. They'll be like, aliens are somewhere in the air, which would be the case with many creations, which is also the case with jinns, as some of them are also found in the air. So there are so many concepts and theories about aliens out there in the society, creating suspense. So there's a possibility for its existence as well as non-existence. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
We have received one question through SMS that, let's say if there's a song or other sinful things saved in one's mobile phone, then is it permissible for them to recite the Quran from the phone or save the Quran in their phone?
Well, this is the case in almost every mobile phone. There are pictures of women in it, there are songs in it, so what shall we do now? The house in which TV is watched, where alcohol is drunk, should we keep Quran in such a house? Should we offer Salah in it or not? What do you think? The building that you live in, different activities take place in different stories. On the bottom floor, it may be a case of someone engaged in sinful activities, whilst on upper floors, there may be tahajjud and other prayers. So what should we do in this case? So it's upon the individuality of the person. As for any tech gadget that we talk about, it is like the whole world has been confined into it. Otherwise, it is nothing in its essence. If you look at it, it's nothing in essence. It is nothing except being a small object and device. It has a few chips and few other things that can be seen. It works with the rays and some technology. In essence, it is nothing. So things are generally stored within it. So there are normally some cables joined together or some chips or other assembling parts. So you can upload things using it, you can download things using it, and many things can also be seen on it through live streaming. You can say whatever you want in it and you can watch whatever you want on it. It's like a sharp knife. Is a sharp knife permissible or not? Which house doesn't have a knife? Now it's up to you whether you use the knife to cut vegetables or harm a person. Shari'i rulings vary based on its usage. Using it to cut vegetables is permissible, whilst harming a person with it is impermissible. So this is the Shari'i ruling regarding the usage of a knife. In the same way, if you use this for a good cause, it is rewarding. And if you use it for an evil cause, then it is sin. Right? So therefore, there's no harm in reciting the Quran from it. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد.
We are receiving questions and we have just received a question on social media from Brother Noor who's asking that if a person claims that he has something with him which informs him of people's secrets. So should we trust such a person? Please guide us in this regard.
If the person claims to give the news of the unseen, then it is wrong. And in this case, people generally have jinns with them. They gain control over jinns. As for jinns, they don't have the knowledge of unseen as mentioned in a verse of Quran. So keep this in your mind that a jinn cannot give the news of the unseen. A past news, giving that is possible. Because what happens is that some jinns have a friendship with the Hamzad of the person. What is a Hamzad? When a person is born, a devil is born with him and also an angel is born with him. Now the devil is known as Hamzad. So the Hamzad knows everything about the child since his birth. Of course the things and matters that are apparent. For example, the child fell down and injured himself and had these many stitches. The child had a severe fever, he had a typhoid, he almost passed away, etc. So Hamzad has all this kind of different information. Or he had an engagement which broke. And as discussions take place in families regarding weddings, based on that he informs that wedding will take place after this much time. So this is how they find out. So the jinn informs after asking the Hamzad. And people think that the person is very highly ranked. Indeed, but which rank? The rank of Satan. Those who are highly ranked in Allah's court don't do these kind of things. The types of things these cheats do, where they control the jinn, they gather people, women are seen to be doing all weird kinds of stuff, and so much more. We have nothing to do with this. We are to do what our scholars tell us. You will never see a scholar or an honorable person attending such kind of gatherings. In such gatherings, you will generally find people who do not offer their salah and who are not of a noble character. Such people do these things. And they take money from people. Even if the person doesn't take any money, but on the other hand, he gains honor. And honor is that treasure that cannot even be bought with money. People praise you. They kiss your hands. In this, there's charm, it freshens up a person. Someone should praise us, talk good of us, kiss our hands, give us protocol. There's a charm in all this. However, if someone makes this claim, then we should part our ways from them. The awliya are not seen roaming around and making such kind of claims. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
A question through SMS is that how is it to sit around a grave, form a circle and complete the recitation of Quran?
There's no harm in it. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in the court of the Amir of Al-Sunnah is that can nabaligh children wear son ihram?
It is better to make the nabaligh to follow rules as well. Otherwise, how many people would you give clarification to, saying that he is nabaligh and hajiz, not first for him and many rulings don't apply to him, so we made him wear a son ihram. So don't make him wear a son ihram, try to make him wear a proper unstitched ihram. Normally children's trousers keep falling down and we adjust it. So adjust the ihram if it falls. There are some people whose mindsets can be made and then there are some people whose mindsets can't be made. But we cannot give permission for this. It will cause several issues. The ihram which Sharia has affixed, the child should be made to wear the same ihram.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Attar is my guide, is my guide.
A saying of the Prophet ﷺ, he who forgives the mistake of an embarrassed person, Allah will forgive his sins on the day of judgment. Meaning that a person who is embarrassed and remorseful over what he has done and now seeks apology for his mistake from the person, and that person forgives him for his mistake. For example, he hurt the feelings of the other person, or he violated any right, he forgives it. So on the day of judgment, Allah will forgive the sins of such a person. Subhanallah, the excellence of forgiveness has been mentioned here, and there are many virtues of forgiveness. out of which one has just been mentioned. Some people are very stubborn, they don't forgive. In fact, truly and honestly, I've also seen this, that some people keep it written with them, they keep it recorded with them. I've seen this in the past, that at this time, he said this to me. At this time, he did this to me. And he keeps going through it again and again. So this should be avoided, and rather, one should forgive. Why keep it? I had some pieces of writings, and those writings were not of other people, they were of our own people. I'm not going to go into detail of those writings now, and they could have been useful for me at some point. But I developed a mindset that I'll not publicize anyone's shortcomings, neither will I backbite anyone, nor will I avenge anyone. I will not get into these disputes, so why shall I keep them? All those writings were, in a way, very precious. They were of a person who wanted to show the other person inferior. He wants to degrade him, he wants to take revenge from him. So you can imagine how crucial that content was in a way. I destroyed all of it. Why keep it with me? Hide the faults of others, yours will be concealed as well, inshallah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Fake news means spreading any such information which is not verified, or regarding its authenticity, you yourself are not sure and certain. Objectives of fake news: making someone's fame or character doubtful, doing so as a joke for the sake of personal gains, in order to cause harm to mutual unity, in order to prove oneself extremely skilled and competent, and to spread anarchy in the society, etc. There's one common factor in fake news, that when it spreads from one person to the other and from the other person to the third person, then generally its severity also keeps increasing, because every person mentions it ahead in his own way and in his own words. Nowadays, we receive a lot of information and news on social media, which we forward ahead without even verifying them. And the access to social media has now become very vast. Due legislation and moral values are generally overlooked whilst using social media. A survey was conducted in this regard. The behavior trends of different age group people were monitored in the light of certain rumors. The survey concluded that people of younger age become more fascinated with rumors and the news that is not verified, whilst older people are less affected by it and they don't spread it across as much either, which is either due to their experience or due to staying away from social media. A reliable organization conducted a research on this, after which it was known that rumors and fake news become famous quickly. At times, they even suppress true news. It was discovered in this research that fake news spreads 6 times quicker than true news. A global survey was conducted which was published in renowned newspapers. According to the survey, 85% of people are worried whether they are receiving fake news or incorrect information online or through social media. My question to the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah is that we receive a lot of information and news through social media on daily basis. How can we differentiate between true and fake news? Moreover, please also guide us in this regard, that due to fake news and fake videos on social media, riots and unrest take place in many countries of the world. So my question to you is that the people who spread fake news, please guide them that how harmful can this be for them? And what are the teachings of Islam regarding spreading news without verifying it?
The rumors are not something new. They don't only take place on social media. It's been ongoing from before. In the Battle of Uhud, Ma'adallah, this rumor was spread that the Prophet ﷺ has been martyred, and the Sahaba ﷺ became extremely worried and distressed. Some of them left the battlefield, and the Muslims had to suffer physical casualties as well. And when everyone came to know that the Prophet ﷺ is fine and safe and sound, then they became at peace. So the rumors normally take place. It at times leads to riots and killings as well. And at times, severe losses are faced due to rumors. Now, when we talk about spreading a rumor, it is an act of sin. And as almost everyone uses social media now, so it has also become very common now. Now is the era of social media, and rumors have been ongoing since ancient times. It is even before the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. So whatever we want to say or pass ahead, we should first confirm and verify that news. So nonetheless, everyone should keep this hadith before them. It is sufficient for a man to be a liar that he mentions everything that he hears. And this is what's happening nowadays. This is very common where people keep spreading whatever they hear. Sayyiduna Malik bin Dinar rahimahullah states, know that it is a great evil and mischief that a person relays ahead whatever he hears. It is stated in the Quran,
يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا.
O you who believe, when a transgressor brings news to you, verify it. Meaning that, O you who believe, if a transgressor brings news to you which has negativity about someone, then do not rely on solely what he says. Rather, verify whether he is right or wrong. Because the one who does not refrain from major sins, or someone who keeps committing minor sins frequently, so he who doesn't refrain from fisk, he will not refrain from lying either, so that you do not harm anyone unintentionally. So verify the news before if they are proven otherwise, and you become embarrassed over what you said, meaning that you believe in someone without verifying the news. And upon someone's negative feedback, you punish the other person, criticize him, tell him off, and then the reality becomes clear afterwards, then you'll be embarrassed. Saying of the Prophet ﷺ, a person came to me in my dream and said, let's go. So I went with him. I saw two men, one of whom was standing and one was sitting. The standing person had an iron mace in his hand, and he would insert it in the jaw of the sitting person and pull it to the nape of his neck. Then he would take the mace out and insert it in the other jaw and pull it back. In the meanwhile, the first jaw would restore to its former state. I asked the person who brought me there that, what is this? He replied that he is a liar and he will be punished in his grave until the day of judgment. Whereas the hadith of Bukhari states that he is a liar. He would spread fake news which people would take from him to the extent that the lie would spread all across the world. And this will keep happening to him until the day of judgment. Now in this relation, lying in this way, spreading false rumors, spreading fake news, you've just heard about the evils that it contains. These were just a few examples as a sample. Otherwise, if we start collecting more examples, we will end up having a big list. Nowadays is the era of social media. That's why we give this example when this subject is discussed. As explained before, that this is not an invention of social media, it's been ongoing from before. But through it, rumors get spread very quickly all around the world. It spreads news like wildfire. Before, a rumor would be limited to a town, to a village, or if it is a very big rumor, it would spread across the whole city, not in the whole world. But because of social media tool, the rumor now spreads across the whole world. This tool can be used to earn more reward as well, and at the same time, social media can also become a means of committing more sins. So multitude of reward and sins can be earned through social media.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The sunnah and the commands of Allah. The sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakirah.